This morning I want to talk to you about guard your love for the Lord. Guard your love for the Lord. I want you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. The Lord has had me in 2 Kings chapter 4 for about a week. And I don't have everything that the Lord is trying to speak to me out of this chapter, but there are some things that are on my heart that the Lord has shown me out of 2 Kings chapter 4. I just want to share these things with you today. I told my son the good part about being sick. I've really been sick the last couple of weeks, but the good part about being sick is I have had a lot of time to pray. And God has talked to me about a lot of things. There are a lot of things in my heart that God has said and just speaking to me. And I'm not going to share everything with you, but there's just something, just a few simple things I want to share out of the Word today. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 8. Verse 8 says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, that thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read about a Shunem woman. And when we read through this chapter, it's very clear to see that this is a woman that fears and reveres the Lord. And there is a longing in her heart to be as close to the Lord as she can. We see in the story that she constrains Elisha on different occasions to come into her house and to eat bread with herself and her husband. And eventually she builds a room, adds a room to her house where this man of God, this prophet, can stay and rest when he's on his journeys. And she does this because she feels in her heart to be close to Elisha is to be close to the Lord. To be close to this wonderful prophet of God is to be close to the Lord. Now I want to look as some truths in this story and just share with you some things that the Lord has really been speaking to my heart. Look with me at verse 9. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. And in this verse, I'm really emphasizing these words, holy man and continually. Them are the words I'm emphasizing. That this woman saw the continual testimony of holiness and consecration to God in Elisha's life. He had a continual holiness. There was a continual testimony of holiness and consecration to God upon this man's life. He truly loved the Lord. And godliness and holiness and integrity was at the very core of his nature. It was at the very core of his character. And beloved, I believe with all my heart that every church that has truly been planted by the Lord should carry this same testimony. We should have this same testimony. That when the world sees us, they should see a people that truly and sincerely love the Lord. And because they truly, sincerely love the Lord, they walk in godliness. They walk in holiness. They walk in a lifestyle that honors the Lord. That out of a love for the Lord, they separate themselves from the godlessness of the society around them, and they live a life that brings honor and glory to the Lord. I believe the world should see a people, a holy people, that godly lives and godly integrity should really stand out to the world. I believe that with all my heart. This is one of the key ingredients that causes the bride of Christ to shine. Four different times the Bible says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That when the Lord's people are truly in unity and oneness of heart with each other, and they are living those godly lives for the honor and glory of the Lord. Listen, when they do this, the glory of God, the very beauty of God is upon that people because they're truly reflecting the loveliness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, look with me at verse 10. Verse 10 says, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Let me just say, when I read verse 10, when I really started this study in 2 Kings chapter 4, and read verse 10, this verse, I really sensed that God was trying to speak to me something about this chamber. But I just wasn't getting it. I read this scripture many times and I stopped and I prayed and I meditated upon this scripture. And there are so many things you can draw out, so many truths you can draw out of this scripture. But what I really sensed the Lord wanted to say to me at this time, I just wasn't getting it. Then I continued to read. And as I read through the chapter, the Lord finally showed me what he wanted me to see, what this chamber represented. Let me just give you a very brief background. This Shunammite woman, she does have her son. But as you read, the son dies. And so she goes to Elisha and she tells Elisha, please come back home with me. My child has died. So Elisha goes. Now I want you to look with me at verse 33. It's a verse that just really gripped my heart. Verse 33 says, he went in, talking about Elisha, into the chamber. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon the twain and prayed unto the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, what I'm emphasizing in this verse is this. He went in, shut the door, and prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord really began to speak to me. This is what this chamber represents. The chamber represents being shut in with the Lord in prayer. That's what this chamber represents. One more time, this chamber represents that intimate place of prayer with God. It represents the private place. It represents the secret place where you are alone with God in that place of intimate communion with God in prayer. It represents the secret place of intimacy and worship and prayer. And this is what I want us to understand. This is where a holy life comes from. A life shut in with God in prayer. This is where a holy life comes from. A life that is shut in with God in prayer. When you have that life shut in with God in prayer, it's in that place where God changes your heart. And it's also in that private place of prayer that God bursts godly convictions in your heart. And God bursts his godly standards in your heart. It's in that private place of prayer. Brothers and sisters, being a holy man has nothing to do with the strength of the flesh. Being a holy man has everything to do with having that secret life with God in prayer. That shut-in life with God in prayer. That's where the convictions of God really grow in our birth and grow in your heart, brothers and sisters. Again, this is why it's so important to have a daily devotional life with God. Like Elisha, daily going into the secret chamber and shutting the door and praying to the Lord. This is where godly convictions are birthed in the heart. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's absolutely impossible to have a prayer life, a real prayer life with God, and walk in the flesh, because the two absolutely do not mix. It's in that place with God. Brothers and sisters, it's in that intimate prayer life with God where you begin to take on the things that grieve God's heart. It really is. It's in the place, intimacy with God, that secret life of prayer, that you really begin to sense the things that grieve the heart of the Lord. When I was on vacation, I always go back to vacation. When I was on vacation, I remember sitting down and scanning through the channels on the television just to find something to watch. You know, I'm on vacation downtime. I'm going to watch something wholesome. And brothers and sisters, as I was scanning through the channels, I want to tell you something. I felt the grief of God in my heart. All the ungodliness. All the ungodliness. The grief of God was in my heart. I didn't say the conviction of God. God wasn't saying to me, "It's all shame on you, Tim. You shouldn't do this. This is not so." No, I felt his grief in my heart. Seeing the ungodliness, seeing the things that are so prevalent, seeing the things that so many believers are bringing into their home and tolerating, I sense the grief of God because of its absolute wickedness. And brothers and sisters, I know that grief comes from having a prayer life with God. Not just a daily devotional life because that's what Christians... No, a real prayer life with God. That's when you really begin to take upon the grief of God's heart. It's absolutely impossible to walk in the flesh and have a prayer life. Amen. It's the secret chamber where a life of holiness begins and is birthed. In this story, we see the longing of God's heart. In this story, we truly see the longing of God's heart. Look with me at verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite.' And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, 'Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for the king or to the captain of the host?' And she answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old.' And he said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, 'About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son.' And she said, 'Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid.' And the woman conceived, and she bare a son." Now, I just want to back up a few scriptures and just look at some things. Look with me at verse 14 and 15. "And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old.' And he said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the door." Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I love those last five words. Those words that say she stood in the door. These words really grab me. And I want to emphasize the door. She stood in the door in the presence of Elisha. And today, we stand in the door of the presence of one who's so much greater than Elisha. We stand in the door in the very presence of God. Jesus said in John 10, he said, "I am the door." In other words, it's through Jesus Christ that we have such access to the presence of the Lord. Beloved, I hope we don't take it for granted the liberty that we have in the presence of the Lord, to live in the presence of the Lord. We are such a blessed, privileged, honored people to every day to live a life in the presence of the Lord. Jesus is that door. He's the door. And what I want us to understand is it's the passion of God's heart to give his people life, to breathe life, to bring life into those dead and barren places of our life. Brothers and sisters, God wants to work in our hearts because he's good and because he loves us. And he wants so much to go into those barren places, those wounded places of our life, and he wants to bring life. And again, this is why it's so important to have a devotional life. This is why it's so important to have a prayer life with God. This is why it's so important to be an Elisha and have a daily life of going into the private chamber, shutting the door, and praying to the Lord. It's because it's in that secret place of prayer, and it's in that secret place in the Word of God that life is imparted. Brothers and sisters, whenever you meet believers that are truly filled with the life, you can sense the life, you can see the life, then you can know in your heart they have a private place with God. They are a people that seek after the Lord. Listen, I've heard it before, but I'm not going to be fooled on this thing that everybody has the same measure of the Spirit. Everyone has the same measure of life because we're all born in Christ. So we all have the same. I'm not going to buy that for a minute. Because I've seen too many dead believers, lifeless believers, apathetic, complacent, indifferent believers who have really no spiritual life at all to buy into that. No, brothers and sisters. The life comes from having a heart of seeking God. And it's that love in the Lord that brings you into that daily life of prayer and the Word with a hunger in your heart to know God and to grow in the Lord. That's where the life is at. Amen. Well, now let's ask the question. Well, then, Pastor Tim, why did you entitle this message, Guard Your Love for the Lord? Well, the Lord's been speaking to something to me very simple, but very needful. And it's simply this. You can have a devotional life and not truly be devoted. Amen. You can have a devotional life and not truly be devoted. We can be a people that have learned how to seek God in prayer and the Word and do this, and yet our hearts have strayed from the Lord. And yet we're doing all these things. Brothers and sisters, do you want to know how you can tell when devotions has just become a habit? You want to know how you can tell that? We can know that when every day we have our devotional time with God, but that we're allowing compromise in our life and we just don't really think anything about it. That's when you know your devotional life has just become that, a devotional with no devotion. Brothers and sisters, and I want to tell you something. I know believers today that have a devotional life with God. Hear me. I know believers today that have a devotional life with God. They pray and they read the Word. But in all reality, you look at their life, you look at their walk, they have absolutely no spiritual life at all. That's the truth, and it's the sad truth. Why? Because we just learned how to do something. We just learned how to have devotions. And somewhere, we may have started out with a heart consecrated, but we lost that place of consecration. And there's no spiritual life. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we see a man that did the right thing, but produced no spiritual life at all. And we ourselves can fall into this trap. We can be doing the right things because it's something we were taught to do, and yet possess no spiritual life at all. Look with me at verse 28 through 31. Then she said to Elisha, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any man salute thee, answer him not. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awake." Brothers and sisters, here is my point. Gehazi did exactly as he was instructed by Elisha. He laid Elisha's staff upon the dead child, just as Elisha had told him to do. In other words, Gehazi did the right thing, but produced no life. He did what was instructed of him by the prophet of God, the man of God. He did the right thing, But yet he didn't bring no life. Produce no life. Why? Because if you read in the next chapter, you see that his walk with God isn't right. His heart with God isn't right. He did the right thing, but produced absolutely no spiritual life at all. And beloved, we can do the right things, but still have no spiritual life. We can have a devotional life. We can pray and read the word because it's something that we've been taught to do. But if our hearts are not right and our walk with not right, then we will have no life in our walk. We will have no life in our worship, and we will have no life in our witness. And that's the sad testimony of many believers. We've been taught to do the right thing, and we do the right thing. But the sad thing is, when you look deep into their life, no spiritual life. Amen. So, Pastor Tim, can you sum it up? What is the purpose of this message? Beloved, hear this. Everyone hear this. What is the purpose of this message? Its purpose is not so much about guarding your devotional life or your prayer life. But the purpose is guarding why we pray. Why we have a devotional life. That's the purpose. Beloved, we have a devotional life for one reason. We have a prayer life for one reason. It's because we love the Lord. And it's because we want to grow in the Lord. And we want to know the Lord. And we have to guard that purpose with all of our hearts. We cannot let that slip from our walk with God. Now, I want to end with two passages of Scripture. Do you go with me to Joshua chapter 22? Joshua chapter 22. Look with me at verse 4 and 5. This is Joshua talking to the children of Israel after the conquest of the land. Verse 4, he says, "And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto the brethren as he had promised them. Therefore now return you and get you unto your tents, unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways and keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Beloved, let me say this. If anyone knew victory, Joshua knew victory. If anyone knew what it was like to win battle after battle after battle after battle, Joshua knew what it was like to win battles. That was his whole call from God, win battles. If anyone knew victory, this man knew victory. But he also knew the secret of his victory. He knew where his victory came from. His victory came from loving God with all of his heart and being faithful to walk in obedience to the Lord. That's where his victory came from. Now look with me at chapter 24. And brothers and sisters, you need to circle this verse, mark this verse, and underline this verse because it's so important. Joshua chapter 24, verse 11. Verse 11, Joshua says, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God." He says again, "Take good heed therefore that you love the Lord your God." In other words, this is what Joshua is saying. Joshua is saying, guard your love for the Lord. Hear me. That is what Joshua is telling the people. He's saying, guard your love for the Lord. Listen, Joshua knows there's other things that are going to try to slip in and steal their love and devotion for the Lord. And what Joshua is saying is, with all your heart, this love that you have for the Lord, you need to guard that. Because there are other things that are going to try to slip in and try to rob this in your heart. Joshua is telling the people that you need to recognize when other things are trying to slip in and you need to deal with them quickly. More than anything else in the world, love the Lord and be devoted to Him. Guard your love for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, very simple message, but you have to hear my heart. We need to guard our love for the Lord. This message isn't about protecting your devotional life, protecting your prayer life. It's about guarding the reason why we have a prayer life. Guarding the reason why we get up every morning and open our word and pray and seek the Lord. Why do we do that? We can do the right things and have no spiritual life when we allow compromise into our life. Then it just becomes a devotional. No, brothers and sisters, we need to love God. And it should be our love for the Lord and our desire to know Him and grow in Him. That is the motivation behind having a prayer life. The only motivation. Stand with me this morning.